I'm a millionaire from the bottom. I used to have no money, now I got it. And all these haters mad that they are not em. Against all odds, I hustle, now I got it. I'm a millionaire from the bottom.
Yes, indeed, yo.
I used to have no money, now I got it.
You know that's me, yo.
And all these haters mad that they are not em. Against all odds, I hustle, now I got it.
We come from nothing to everything.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening? This is the Against All Odds radio show, and I am L.A. Williams, the blind master. And to my left, I got Sean V. Bradley, CSP. What's going on with you, Sean?
Yeah, this is SVB, and he's got it right for once. I'm on the left side, not the right side. And listen, yo, America, we are crushing it. Do you feel me?
All thank right? you. Because, thank you. Yo, thank you
I'm
so
telling
much,
that
America.
Grant Cardone episode of last week is
Fire.
Lit. Yo, my phone is blowing up. My clubhouse is lit. Yo, my Instagram, I think I gained like 10,000 followers on Instagram, LA. You don't even know, fam. I didn't tell you. I'm pushing 30,000 now, bro.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, the Against All Odds radio show on Instagram is rocking and rolling. The Facebook group, Against All Odds radio show for listeners and guests, is really starting to get some traction, so I'm excited about that. And then over on Clubhouse, man, people always hit me up. It's like people know me now. Like, what? Like,
yo, they're like, yo, that's from Against All Odds. I'm like, mm-hmm. yo, absolutely. The radio show is buzzing. 1 million per a week,
yes.
people. You feel me? 1 million.
I mean,
all right, so let's recap this. We had NFL athletes, you know, pro bowlers, Hall of Famers from the Eagles, from mm-hmm. the Jets.
Yep.
Then who else do we have so far?
And then we also have my main man, Dilemma, rocking it, rolling. Had Jasmine Sullivan got her new song played. We had Diamond Jesse got their new song played. We really going to break our artists, y'all. I'm telling y'all the truth when we say it.
You know what I'm saying? And then we had the undercover billionaire, man.
Himself.
The undercover billionaire, Grant Cardone. And y'all, people were saying, they didn't even know that I knew Grant for like over 12 years, and we've been partners with him for the last 2 years. And I'm like, yeah, I've been breakdancing with Grant Cardone. We've been to Miami to 10X headquarters of Cardone,
B-boy,
man.
B-boy,
yo, we're
yeah.
trying to get that Cardone money. I'm telling you, LA, I'm going to have us an orange jet. Da-na-na-na-na. Sean Bradley, baby.
So who we got this week, man?
Man, we got Hollywood in the building. That's right. We got a Hollywood movie director and producer. It's on.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Caesar Augustus from Augustus Films. Ladies and gentlemen, this cat, he been shooting all kind of stuff when we was rocking with Karina Bradley. I can't wait for y'all to hear the stories, but you're not going to hear them just yet. Let's pay some bills and we'll be right back on Against All Odds.
Did you know that car.com is a website to connect consumers like you, me, our parents, basically everybody to local car dealers? Car.com helps us find that perfect vehicle. From new vehicles to certified pre-owned, car.com will help you find the best vehicle match. Car.com practically started the online car shopping experience. Peace of mind and finding your perfect vehicle, it's what they do. Car.com, we do the research, you do the driving. Get started getting that peace of mind today at car.com.
It's the Against All Odds radio show. Against All Odds radio.
You should
show.
Check out our
Against
website.
All Odds radio show. Against All Odds radio.
Or find
show.
Us on
Against
Facebook.
All Odds radio show. Against All Odds radio.
Or
show.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter.
All Odds radio show. Against All Odds radio.
We even got
show.
A YouTube
Against
channel.
All Odds radio show.
Let me ask you, have you ever tried to get approved for a car but couldn't, or it took real long? See, they want you to think it's because your credit is so bad, but maybe their website is not so good. Well, I have the shortcut. It's called AutoCreditExpress.com. Tell them L.A. Williams sent you and get approved today.
From nothing to everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back on the Against All Odds radio show. And man, I'm telling you, as promised, of course, I got Sean V. Bradley, CSP.
What
with
up,
me,
people?
But I have our special guest, Mr. Caesar Augustus from Augustus Films. What's going on, Caesar?
What's up, Caesar?
How are you? Such a pleasure to reconnect with you guys, as always.
Exactly, man. Now, listen, last time, well, not the last time, but I remember the most fun we had when we was on the beach. Remember shooting that video shoot? That was, like, crazy.
Oh, yeah. What, Atlantic City?
Yo,
I forgot about that. That was the... That was the Kesha remix,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
gotcha.
Oh, yeah, we straight run and gunned, like we just commandeered Atlantic City. I don't know if I want to say the name Trump Hotels, but the Taj Mahal, and people thought we had licenses. I mean, like people were gathering around for the Karina Bradley music video.
Yeah.
Wow, LA, that was crazy. That's the last time you saw C's?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it was the last time, but we definitely had a good time that time. It was so memorable.
I believe we did that all guerrilla style too. We just like showed up. And we just took over everything.
Let's
we were just
looking
at us on the boardwalk and everything. That was awesome.
Great.
So Caesar, you were obviously from Pennsylvania on the East Coast, but you know you were you're a successful Hollywood producer in Hollywood, California. So you live in California?
Yeah, I made my transition out here like last 6 years ago. So it's been home for that long. So yeah, time flies.
All right, so let's dive into it. Again, we have so much love and respect for you. Thank you for being on the show. But kind of tell our audience a little bit about Caesar Augustus. Tell us a little about like your come up, like, you know, where are you from and how did you get to become a freaking Hollywood producer?
Wow. I mean, I started this journey like 17 years ago, so there's no easy formula to this production world, as you know. So it's kind of
absolutely not easy. You better love it.
Doing what you love. And, you know, I guess it started like 17 years ago when you know, actually, no, I started in high school when I had my dad gave me my first camera and we were doing video production class in high school and doing our own little skits for the entire, you know, 300 student body in high school. So that's where it all started, is kind of doing skits and like funny videos for the entire student body. And then it kind of like transitioned into like I want to kind of do this more. Like, yeah, let's go to
so as soon as you got the camera, something spoke to you, right, in your soul. Like you just loved the videography.
Yeah, my dad gave me my like VHS, like one of those mini DV cameras.
Yeah.
And he's and I was just shooting just video, random videos. I wish I had.
So you was a rich kid. You must have been a rich kid. How you get a camera in high school?
My dad was a gadgets guy. That's the problem. Like my dad was just like had until to the end. Like he always had like fun little, like everything. Just like the latest thing that would come out. He'd be like, hey, yeah. And so he would let us play with some of them, and one of them was a camera for me. So I would shoot like the family home videos. I remember when we.
I remember those family home videos.
I'd be the one documenting and just trying to figure out how to like. At the time, there was no like non-linear editing systems, you know,
right.
So we couldn't really edit, but we had at least tape to tape that we can kind of splice the edits together.
That's
so
fun.
It was tedious, but I managed.
So from the camera to that, what was the next big jump in your career?
I college, you know, like I went to Philadelphia University of the Arts. And I kind of got thrown into like editing. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, you know. So put me like the school made an error, but they put me in advanced classes, all of them, throughout my first semester. And
oh, wow.
I was kind of lost in the beginning, but I'm kind of grateful to that because I learned really quick. So that learning curve, like I didn't correct the mistake. I just stayed with the class. I don't know why, but I just did.
So the University of Arts is a very respected, you know, art school in cinematography and video production. So you actually have been collegiately trained as a video editor and as a producer and for
producer
video.
Just like, you know, they just teach you filmmaking, like they just
right.
teach you how to like light, how to like develop a script, and you know, all the fun stuff that you're like, oh yeah, I should maybe have some organization, which I had. Because I went to, you know, the high school provided some of that structure, believe it or not, back in the day. They had tape-to-tape deck nonlinear, so I was kind of already groomed for that. Most people coming
what school
from
you go
high
to?
School.
Huh? What school you went to in high school?
I went to Coatesville and then Bishop Shanahan, but
okay.
Bishop Shanahan didn't have, like, they had editing, or they had like, filmmaking, but not editing tools. But
right.
Coatesville, you know Coatesville, right?
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, like, that high school had, like, a whole TV department,
wow.
which was
nice.
Really cool. It had green screens and everything. I learned how to do green screens, and yeah, I was, yeah,
that's
this
fire.
Was so over 20 years ago. So
that's crazy.
I was, like, you know, my teacher was teaching me how to composite things, which is what I mainly do now is visual effects.
Nice. So what was your first acclimation towards like some coolness, whether it was celebrities or music videos, or what was the first taste of some like next level ish that you got to sample?
Yeah, I guess for me it all started with when I started working with music artists.
Mm-hmm.
Like right before I met you, like I was I went to I was working for Vespa. They hired me to actually, the first time I ever flew to LA, I'll never forget this. I flew to LA. It was Vespa Scooters, Philadelphia. They flew me to LA to do some charity work for cancer. And on that trip, I met a guy named Asher Roth, as you know. So like I did this charity thing for like almost basically for free, but it was such a cool experience. I'd never been to LA. They flew me out there, and I never forget looking, which is, by the way, a mile from where I live, and I declared that I'd be living out here one day because it was just like the perfect weather, the perfect evening, the browse, yeah. And I declared right there and there that one day I would be living out in LA.
Never rains in Southern California. You don't know that?
Oh, it rained and poured like a couple of days ago, but yeah, not always. But it's beautiful out here. But I declared it because it was such a beautiful environment. And and 10 years later, like I ended up moving out here for projects and work. So you got.
So you met Asher in LA or on the flight?
On the way back, because he lived in Philadelphia at the time. So, right. But like we did like a Vespa, like flew me to LA and did a 3-day like riding back on a scooter. Like we had to document this guy riding back. Anyways, on the way back, there was a concert. Like people were waiting for us because it was to raise money. It was this guy that had to ride cross country on a Vespa scooter, and I was documenting the entire trip back.
Now, that's crazy.
No one's ever ridden on a Vespa scooter
right.
from California to Philadelphia to raise money. And it was kind of this big thing. We followed him in the back of a car. He was just riding for 3 days straight. It was crazy. Anyways, on the way back that night, there was a concert and like there was a big party. And Asher Roth was one of those guys performing that night. And I ended up recording the entire event and everything. And his manager that evening like, approached me. He was like, yo, love to get some of that footage. And I'm like, cool, hit me up. We exchanged numbers. And
his manager was?
Oh, his manager was Matt McGurk.
Okay, Matt McGurk.
At the time. And we'll get to Scooter Braun afterwards.
Yeah, like, so is this before I Love College came out? Or is
Yeah. This is years
this is before. Wow. Okay,
years
wow.
Before.
Okay.
Years. At least like 2 years. So I remember I lived in... with Dave McGrogan at the time at his house. And so I had Asher and his manager come over, review the footage, and they played me a couple tracks. I was like, yo, this, your next level, something, you can do something. So I decided to get behind him and work, you know, just like, all right, like, sure, I'll show up, I'll shoot, I'll develop the websites, the everything for the label. It was called Lock and Load at the time. And it was made up of a group of artists in Philly.
So question, when you first heard I Love College, you knew it was a smash?
He called me, and he was like, yo, how does this bar sound? And I didn't think it was
really, it's crazy.
No,
it's so crazy.
He was like, yo, this is dope. And he was just like, oh, I love, I'm like, all right, yeah, that's cool, man, for what? But I've heard of his other tracks that I thought were so much better.
Right.
So,
but that's how it happens, C's, right or not, with these artists, sometimes the things that come like smash hits, like they're like, I can't believe that one went, you know what I mean? So yeah. That's
crazy. You
just
gotta be careful what makes you like big and what like yes. people don't want to let go you of, because I remember that tour, because I went, like that blew up, you know, and I went on tour with him, and then, but he was always known for the I Love College.
Did you do the music video for I Love College?
I did the conceptual direction, and then Universal took what we did and then redid it Hollywood style. Obviously at the time Universal like was paying for everything, so they chose the directors and the everything.
Yep.
So let's talk about before Karina Bradley. What are some of the artists that you work with besides Asher Roth?
Well, I think I met Karina on the Barrington Levy.
Okay, let's get into it then. Let's just do it. So, man, I got to say, America, you have no idea. So, Wifey was an extra on a music video for Reggae Legend. So, first of all, how the heck did you get the music video for a Reggae Legend? He's not just a reggae artist. There's only few people that are legendary. And, dude, you did a music video that was of epic proportion with explosions in Philadelphia with a Reggae Legend.
I went big on that one.
Yes, you did. How did you pull that off? Like, how'd you get that opportunity?
Right place, right time. Like, I mean,
that's
You know, I at the time I was just grinding and I was everywhere. Like, you know, so I would meet a lot of people, like managers and producers, and I believe. Oh, you remember Ryan Banks?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was filming something for Ryan Banks.
Shout out to Ryan Banks in Philly.
Yeah. He's a dope artist as well that we work. So you know, from Freeway, you know, so from all those groups in Philadelphia that were the music artists and like things like that, I always had my hand in because I was just showing up and I would just go to these parties or go to these things and yo, let's shoot a video. And there would be videos for all day long, obviously. So in one of those instances, I met Daddy Biggs. He's a Platinum Camp.
I don't know Platinum Camp. Him. Yeah, I remember Daddy Biggs. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
I still talk to him. He's great. Yeah, yeah. I touch base with him and whatnot. And he was working, he was like a music promoter and like managing Barrington Levy for in the States, or he would just get him like some major concerts and stuff. And he was like, yo, I got Barrington Levy. He wants to do this track. It's called No War. We had, I believe on the track that Lil Wayne was on the track at one point.
And, yeah.
Cardinal
Official,
Busta Rhymes, Cardinal Official. Well, Cardinal Official and ended up being on the track because of just logistics and timing.
Licensing, yeah, and clearances and stuff.
High money too, like as far as you know, like getting people. And it snowed. Like it was a terrible snowstorm. I was planning for weeks this music video shoot called No War, which like you know ended up you know doing pretty well. And we did like a lot of promotions. It ended up doing like 15, 20 million on. Hits on what was that site?
Worldstar Hip Hop.
Worldstar, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Worldstar. So, America, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, because you guys see this music video, No War, we're going to post it in the Against All Odds listeners and guests Facebook group. So, after the show airs, I'm going to post this music video for No War, because this is how the Bradleys got to meet Caesar. So, Caesar, if I'm understanding what you're saying, again, it's just being relevant. You were at the, you said right place, right time. It wasn't it's like the lottery says, you got to be in it to win it. If you want to be able to get opportunities, you can't do this daydreaming in your house, in your boxers or your panties, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah, whatever you know, floats your boat.
Showing up,
you
man.
Have to, yeah, you have to show up. You've got to be where the action is. And by surrounding yourself with people that are making stuff happen and they know that you are dependable and you're about that life, you've got opportunities after opportunities that presented itself, correct?
Yeah,
constantly. And let's keep it 100 to the audience. When you first were coming up, I know for a fact, but I want it to come from you. You know, you took deals that were like for the credits, for the experience, for the portfolio. Can you talk about how important that is, especially in visual arts, whether it's graphic design, it's video production, it's movies. Sometimes you need to, you know, develop your portfolio, and working with an A-list celebrity or even a B-list celebrity is better than maybe getting, you know, some money or as much money as you're worth.
Well, I wasn't even building my portfolio. I just had opportunities pop up and I was just like, hey, you're great and I believe in you. This is how I kind of build and work with people. It's like if I have some sort of like if I feel something, if it's like and like I see something and like all those dynamics kind of hit and like I invest my time and energy into that, not to build my portfolio because like, you know, I guess it was doing that regardless, but it wasn't for that reason. It was for because like I saw something, I wanted to be a part of something great too.
Yeah.
So see, they that always was say the main thing.
They always say the tree of life is watered by the work you do for low or no pay. Right.
Always.
And so a lot of times people don't
actually
get that.
Yeah. Some of my best work is because of that. Yeah.
So if I'm understanding, like there's two different points here that I want to make to the audience. One is that I know you personally. And so I know that you're a spiritual person. I know that you're an altruistic entity. I mean, you have a lot of kindness in you. You're a good human being. You know what I mean? I believe
try.
It. Even we're all humans, but I'm just saying for the most part, your energy is you have light. You know what I mean? There's people that are dark and evil. That's not Caesar Augustus, not in my mind. Mm-hmm. And so I if I'm understanding what you're saying is that if you vibe with somebody, if you believe in their craft, in their artistry, in their energy, in their aura, and you feel that there's synergy there, you're going to engage, whether there's a huge financial payday or not. Well, is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, let me put it this way. What if I said no to Asher because he had no money and all
that? Oh my God, yeah.
How many bridges would have been cut off because of that?
Exactly.
Think about that.
That's like, crazy.
There's probably 15 different experiences I would have never had. And people don't look at it that way. Like, whatever you say yes to, like, you never know what, like, what branches like
yo let's talk that's a ridiculously dope point that you just said. So I want you to really rewind that point, Caesar. Asher Roth at one point was one of the hottest artists in the world, right? And so
there was no Eminem at the time and people were thirsting for that white hip-hop music.
Yes
And Asher, you know, kind of gave something different. And then
he was repping, like people are repping Bloods and Crips. He was repping College Life. You know, he was, you know, like, you know, red cups and partying, beer pong, which is part of his lyrics.
Yeah,
but to your point, to your point, though, what I think that's a really big nugget is sometimes you need to play chess, the game of chess, for life. I mean, not just doing that one checkers move for right in front of you. Sometimes the things that you do or you agree to do are going to open up door after door after door. You said that there was about 15 different experiences. Let's jump into one of them right now because I already know a little bit of it. Because of the Asher Roth door opening, that segued you to actually meet and work officially with Scooter Braun, correct?
Yeah, Scooter Braun is, Scooter Braun was one of the catalysts to changing the game, probably, and a lot of the stuff for what we
Oh my God, I just saw Scooter at Grant Cardone's 10X. I mean, the dude's on another stratosphere, man. So,
I met him through Asher. I received a phone call from him because he found Asher on Facebook and saw the website, the videos that we were doing. And he called me immediately, he told Asher to fly down to Atlanta and just take a faith and like, let's meet up. And Asher did that, I think, with Boyder. And they decided to move down there. But I remember getting a phone call from Scooters, like, yo, he introduced himself, I'm taking over type of thing. And it was kind of like a little hostile takeover because like the manager, Matt, wasn't really, they weren't, I guess, vibing at the time. I don't know what really truly happened, but Asher ended up signing with Scooter and being, flown out to Atlanta, moved, did everything, and started the whole movement that he started with Idle College. And he released a couple of mixed albums before, but during that time, before Bieber. It was right before Bieber, too.
I was going to just say, that's the crazy story. That relationship with Asher Roth led to Scooter Braun, which led to you meeting, working with Justin Bieber. And that's
14-year-old Justin Bieber, who just came to the States and who was just like starting as well. So I got that energy of like, I feel like I work with people who are just like at the cusp of like their greatness, which is awesome. So I really like love that. So, yeah.
That's a big deal for my career too. It's like it's people who are just right there. Cause I remember, I got a chance to work with someone. They was actually writing a song for Justin and it was like, they wanted kids, like people that were his age to write his stuff. Cause they didn't want it to be too, over mature. So yeah, some really good stuff, y'all. So listen, we are going to be right back. We're getting ready to get into some success principles and everything. Again, we'll be right back.
Against all odds.
After these messages.
Need a new car now, but not so perfect credit holding you back? Here at AutoCreditExpress.com, we get it. That's why millions of Americans trust us as the shortcut to getting approved for a new car. No matter what your credit situation, and even if you've been denied in the past, AutoCreditExpress.com gets you approved by working with the best lenders and the best dealers. The ones that understand that not everyone has perfect credit, especially in times like these. AutoCreditExpress.com. We're with you.
It's the Against All Odds radio show. Against All Odds radio.
You should check out our website.
Against All Odds radio show. Against All Odds radio.
Or find us on Facebook.
Against All Odds radio show. Against All Odds radio.
Or Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. We even got a YouTube channel.
Hey world, this is Sean V. Bradley, and if you need to buy a new or pre-owned car and want to have the best, most convenient experience ever, get full transparency, the absolute lowest price, no stress, best customer service, well, I highly recommend Car.com.
From nothing to everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, man, I'm telling you, we're having a phenomenal conversation right now with the one and only Caesar Augustus. He's breaking down all the different people he's had a chance to meet and how he was able to do it. So, I know we're getting ready to get into some success principles, but I know, Sean, there's a specific conversation you wanted to have. Jump into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Caesar, like, it's amazing, from the Barrington Levy, Cardinal Official, to the Freeways, the Jack Frost, but then to, like, Asher Roth, to, Justin Bieber's, to you hanging out at P. Diddy's house in his pool and all the craziness down there. I mean, like, name dropping some huge, huge artists, but I'd say that my favorite artist that you got to work with was Carina Bradley. So Carina went from being an extra on your major music video with the legend, Barrington Levy, to becoming a partner in Augustus Films, and you became a partner in the Karina Bradley artist development and the visuals. So talk about that. What was it that you saw in Karina and what we were doing, and what was your thoughts 10 years later almost of what we accomplished, you know, from nowhere?
Yeah, I mean, we just vibed automatically, you know, like immediately she had just this vision for herself and the team behind her. Obviously, I met you in transition of all that, and you were just next level. And I just feel like, yeah, this has the team to be able to execute, because if it was one person, then it'd be harder to execute, because I've had that too. Like, you know, but I saw, again, the right dynamics, the right passion, the right vision. And I was just like, that's all it takes, because there was no, I don't think there was music at the time even. I don't even remember.
No, she wasn't even in the studio.
Like, Karina can sing and she wants to do X, Y, Z. I'm like, all right, I love that, because like you came at it that approach of like, where we like, you know, but you build a team, and that's all, that's right there is strategy. That's being a producer, like a master producer, and you were just assembling the team and putting people together. That's what it took. And I went along with it, because I just saw,
bro, that let's there was go passion. Let's go back down memory lane. I mean, do you remember the Karenwood Estate in Bernathen, Pennsylvania, the orange castle but before me and Karina got married, that's where we shot the Freeway and Jack Frost, you know, music video. Yeah. I mean, from that to, you know, man, Caesar, what we did, you know, with Augustus Films and Karina Bradley, going to Shade 45, you know, numerous times with DJ K Slay, with G Unit Radio, Eminem, Shade 45, you know, the Meek Mill major music video, the Club Dusk with the late DJ AM, RIP DJ AM, you know, in Atlantic City. Oh my God, do you remember what was his name? Scott, Michael Jackson's bodyguard.
Yeah. Yeah, but I forget. As you know.
We actually got to, and who was the director from Jackass that you had that was shooting at the...
Joe Franz.
Yeah, Joe Franz. So you brought some of the most amazing people from, you know, from your network, from the Bam Margera stuff to, you know, your entertainment stuff. And we kind of synergized. We took my connections with TF, which we'll get to in a second, with Papoose in New York. We took Sean's New York crew and resources with Philadelphia.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just sunk into every, I mean, that's what happens when you like meet people, you just start like working, collabing, and you get all walks of life, you know, from like the gangsters in a good way. For me, it was, yo, this is like some real stuff. This wasn't like child's play.
No, this is real. We'll get into that in a second. Balls. But man, we were in Atlantic City shooting music videos. We were in Philadelphia shooting videos. We were in Brooklyn shooting videos. We were in the Bronx shooting music videos. And it's crazy, like, you know, the people that we met, that I met because of you, the people that you met because of us. Yeah. Exactly, man. Now, let's talk about some crazy stuff. Yo, America, you don't even know. I want you to hear from Caesar. What a lot of people don't know, even in the automotive industry, is that I actually own 10% of a major New York City gangster rap group. I own 10% of a rap group called TF Mafia. And before they were TF Mafia, they were actually Brooklyn Zoo. And, I mean, what was that like for you? Because you were a, you were a kind, normal, loving, you know, person to be working with just straight, like, street soldiers, like gangsters. What was that like for you?
Oh, man, it was amazing. I mean, it was a whole nother thing. But I was just in grind mode of, like, all right, what do we got to get? Because, like, you held certain expectations of me. Like, yo, this has to be dope. I'm like, ugh. And then, like, we got to make it work with this money. I'm like, ugh. Okay, so I just made it happen. And, like, that's what I was focused on, is producing and building. But the experience, if I rewind back and actually, like, all the times I was with Rab in his house and like the stacks of, you know, and just, it was just insane. It was real. It was real.
Explain what you saw, because it's done. Rab is no longer on this planet. Yeah, he passed away.
So,
you know what I mean?
No, I mean, it was real life. It was like stacks of money. It was guns. It was just like, you know, the hustle. And I respect that, but he was also kind. But I'm sure he had this other side that was just like a leader of some sort that he had to watch out for his own
self. Well, you know, the FBI and DEA came in and had a federal case. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, is that we both were there.
They flew me from LA. They found me and they flew me to LA to New York just to testify, by the way.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Because of
bro.
The videos I shot.
So PSA, like, this is actually really true, is that the federal government can use music videos for rap videos as evidence. I didn't know
that's
that.
What so happened
the
with
FBI,
my cousin.
I got to hear this. So the FBI flew you from Los Angeles to New York City.
I avoided as much as possible because I did not want to even incriminate. But I just, you know what, you know, yeah, I just.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
I just said it was props and this and that because they saw guns. Because they were just trying to nail them for like being like real gangsters. And they were like, and they were saying like they were not like, they were just playing gangsters on TV or on videos and stuff like that. And I just said, listen, I just showed up and shot. I was given money and I left, which was true 90% of the time. I didn't get involved.
But that's gotta be crazy. See, I grew up like that. I grew up with gangs, violence, and prison and stuff like that. But that's not where you come from. So that's gotta be crazy for you to be a creator and a producer and a movie person and have the FBI and the IRS, you know, and the DEA investigating you for freaking music videos.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. And unfortunately,
no, it was crazy. Sorry, I'm just going back. But yeah, it was crazy. But I was being groomed for that because, like, working with Biggs and then Barrington, I started kind of like seeing a lot more of that world. Anyways, like, he thought like Brooklyn was bad. Jamaica gangsters are.
Oh yeah, no. Jamaica's on a whole nother level.
Yeah. So, you know, like with Biggs, I got, you know, they flew me out to Belize. And I saw some stuff there.
And you know, so I'm Belizean, right?
Yeah, I know. Yes, I remember that. Yes. And, I'm very accepting of all cultures and people's way of life. So I think that's the best way of putting it.
Yeah, man. And it's a shame, too, because the feds got a conviction. They had a racketeering, you know, case conspiracy, and they got sentenced to life plus 30, and then Rab died in prison, you know?
Paulie, what's happening?
Yeah, Paulie's life plus 30. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, ouch. I mean, like, you know, and that's another thing right there, man, that is that, like you said it just a couple moments ago, is that, you know, you didn't see that side. You were never exposed to that side of the violence and the gangster stuff or what have you. You know, it's fun and sweet because these people are human beings. So they have children. So they could show love and compassion, but there is another side to it, just like there's the yin and the yang. And again, what I hope that you learned, which is what I've learned, is to insulate yourself and protect yourself, because again, you can't allow, especially at our levels in life, you know what I mean, you can't allow, you know, Caesar, other people, clients, prospects to potentially, you know, put your business at risk. So for everybody listening to this, if you're coming up and you're trying to be a rap star or music artist or a producer or, you know, music videos or movies or whatever it is that you're going to find different people and that are going to come into your life, and you've got to turn around and do a risk assessment, do a cost benefit analysis of your life and your future, because we both know a lot of people, man, that are, you know, that didn't make it outside of the hood. They didn't make it outside of this because they wanted to be successful and they wanted to be rich or famous or whatever it is, and they went the wrong way. See, I'm really proud of you, Caesar, because of you went the right way. You know what I mean? You even navigating in those worlds of music videos and celebrities and stuff like that, you weren't intoxicated. You stayed true to your soul and to your craft. And you said it before about, you know, projecting and manifesting. You have a vision for yourself.
That's
so many
everything.
People.
Talk
about that. I want to hear that.
You definitely got to have like a vision. Like, it's not just those opportunities popped up, but I held space always for like great things like happening. Like, and I still do. And I build on that and I build on that. And I envision, I do my intention settings and whatever practice that you have, it's all about that, visualizing, intention setting. Before it was like, my dad gave me the book on Think and Grow Rich, like when I was like 14.
Yes, that's LA's one of his favorite books.
Yeah, one of them.
So I still listen to it. And then it was Earl Nightingale. So you got to always like fuel the fire, you know, always. You got to always like keep
lead
things in mind. And always expand and learn. Like, you can never think you know it all. So, and you always got to like have reminders, because life is life, and life will, one thing gets in front and then like it's good. So you got to just know who you are along the way and what you want. And the better off that you do that, or the more you do that, the more things start appearing in your life, is what I've noticed for myself. So, yeah. So it's constantly visualizing, and I've always held great space, and I'm still doing a lot of work because there's a lot of gaps that I have in my own life. And
I had a question for you, because I don't want to frame this interview where you're just a rap music producer, video. So you've done a lot of stuff with movies in Hollywood. From my understanding, you worked on the Kickboxer 3 movie. What's some of the movies that you've
done? Well, no. Here, I'll tell you the story before. So the reason why I moved out to LA was because I was working on a project with John Smidian for Lady Gaga and Richard Branson. And we were developing the pack. Yeah, I haven't even told you about that, but that's what brought us out there. And in between all that, like right before that, like we were working on Bam Margera's story, like CKY's greatest hits, and that was like the come up story of how Jackass came about. Mm-hmm. So because I lived in Westchester with Bam and all that stuff, and I knew Joe Franz, and Joe Franz had all the licensed footage for Bam Margera growing up, we're like, hey, let's pitch this to MTV and create a documentary or like a special that highlights on how it all started, and put all the CKY videos together, interview Bam again, his mom and all the players, Johnny Knoxville and all that stuff. And we, and I single-handedly with Joe Franz, like packaged, sold and produced that thing to MTV. And we took it out and
that's crazy.
That was my first thing. And I met international sales team in LA that when I was selling the Bam Margera project, I was in LA, I was in their offices. I bumped into Dimitri, who was producing and or directing the kickboxer movie, the first one, and right. Jean-Claude Van Damme and all that stuff. And so we connected, we got involved, we helped raise some money, put some of our own money, and helped produce that movie along with like the behind the scenes, the marketing, the trailers and all that stuff for that movie. And we got, you know, executive producer credit and for the first and second films.
So I didn't know that. So you have credits for Kickboxer 1 and 2?
And 2, yeah. I don't think they made a third one. They were trying to, but then they moved on to like another movie. The second movie, Mike Tyson was in and stuff. So yeah. They wanted to bring the UFC world into that movie and that series. So that's what started. Like, that's how I saw how the game worked.
Do you like working with Hollywood and movies more than the music and the music video? Okay, so movies is your part.
I would rather
part.
Be developing movies because they're long form, or at least form, like, because, you know, music videos were great to begin with because they helped me tell a story in a short amount of time and helped me, you know, like every project, every anything that I do kind of helps build something new that we're doing. You know, it's being creative and you learn something from everything. You know, I'm sure LA, like anytime you do a track, you try to do something different, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not always like mechanics. And like, I always try to do something different, learn something different. Like, oh, let's try to do this. And that applies a couple different fundamentals that I've never done before.
You got to be able to do both, because you got to have the simple stuff that, you know, all right, boom, boom, boom. When it got to be fast, you got to be ready. But at the same time, when you're creating art, you can't rush that. You got to really put your heart into it. You got to put some feeling into it, your soul into it. So definitely with you on that one.
Yeah.
And I remember, by the way, Caesar, it's Scott Cummings. Scott Cummings was Michael Jackson's bodyguard, and he was Karina Bradley's bodyguard. He was in a bunch of videos with her. And do you remember rolling up to Club Avion in Brooklyn with the double stretch limos with the they had like the three caravans deep with like the Secret Service detail? Do you remember rolling there with the judge? Like when we were going to that show, there was a judge in the Suburban because they were armed. You know, I mean, the security detail was armed, but they were crossing state lines from New Jersey to New York. And they were traveling with the freaking judge on there just in case the state troopers pulled them over in transit to be able to, you know, kind of smooth that out. I mean, man, the people that we've worked with and seen, it's absolutely crazy. So here's what I want to transition. I want to find out from you, Caesar, what's the advice that you have? I mean, like, dude, you came from, you know, from regular background, like most Americans, you know what I mean? Like, you weren't destitute or what have you and whatnot, but you weren't rich. And you literally, out of billions of people in this planet, have rose to a certain status working with some of the most prominent people, both in music and in movies, and you're working and you're living your dream as a Hollywood producer in California. I mean, like, you have the life that so many people listening to this show wish they would have or think that they wish they would have. So help our listeners and just give some advice. What's some Caesar Augustus advice for life and success?
The best thing I ever did, I think, was believe in myself and start putting things out there, you know, start building myself a website, start getting my work out there. Cause it's, I mean, if you're like in my world, that's visual, but if you're in another field, you could do it in other ways. But the best thing that you can do is really set yourself up powerfully, because I see is like, you know, even here at my work, I have like all the projects that I'm working on and developing on my board. It's a constant reminder, out of sight, out of mind type of philosophy, where like you have to breathe it. You have to see it. Like, I gave myself no option. Like, my buddy Dave McGrogan believed in me, like the guy that owns the Kildare's franchise and Harvest right now, and he put me up for a while, and so just so I could work on my craft. So not a lot of people have those opportunities that have friends or family that believe in them, because I didn't want to do anything else to be, besides my work. And there was no money coming in at the time, you know, like there was like $1,000 here and there, but it wasn't enough, you know? So I was just doing it because I loved it. And I was building a dream. I was building the pipeline, and like, I was relentless and I sacrificed a lot.
Relentless. You know, who, there's a book by Tim Grover, who is Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant's, you know, personal coach, and that's called Relentless. I mean, you have to be relentless. If you want to be successful, you have to be relentless. Relentless doesn't mean ruthless. Relentless doesn't mean shady. Relentless means having the conviction that failure is not an option. You will do whatever it takes, legally, morally, ethically speaking, but you will be relentless to your path of success. Okay, Caesar, now let's, I think we established this, but I want to reestablish this point here. Was it easy? Always? Was it like a like a nice frolic in the pasture? Was everything easy that came to you?
Of course not. No, nothing's easy.
No, but everybody in the country thinks that it's easy. Rich people are rich. Hollywood producers are Hollywood producers. They don't know the come up because everybody is Facebook
frauding.
It doesn't have
to be hard either. Like, I've seen people that have it. Like, I guess it depends on how you're building and manifesting. And some people, I mean, nothing's easy depending on person's point of view, but like, I wouldn't be who I am without those hard and, you know, all those mixed moments that I've had, good and bad. So I think it takes a combination of all that to like make who you are.
Man, me and you battled. I mean, I'm going to keep it real. I love you. I love you the way, you know,
I battled
as
my
a
brother
friend.
With people that we are close with, and always.
But I want America to understand is that, you know, success isn't pretty. Yo, hashtag that. Success isn't pretty.
It's not.
Sometimes success can be ugly and hard.
Absolutely.
Remember that, America.
100%. Listen, so ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you this. If you're getting value out of this, I'm telling you, we're going to be back with some more with my man Caesar Augustus.
Against all odds.
Right after these messages.
Did you know that Car.com is a website to connect consumers like you, me, our parents, basically everybody, to local car dealers? Car.com helps us find that perfect vehicle. From new vehicles to certified pre-owned, Car.com will help you find the best vehicle match. Car.com practically started the online car shopping experience. Peace of mind and finding your perfect vehicle, it's what they do. Car.com, we do the research, you do the driving. Get started getting that peace of mind today at Car.com.
Do you have scars, stretch marks, cuts, burns? Did you just have surgery or you're about to have surgery? Well, Scarfoot is a series of products and creams designed specifically to nourish and repair scars. Scarfoot has helped tens of thousands of patients worldwide repair and heal their scars. Follow Scarfoot LLC on Instagram or go to scarfoot.com and send us a product advice form along with photos and let our scar experts tell you exactly what you need to feed and heal those scars.
Let me ask you, have you ever tried to get approved for a car but couldn't, or it took real long? See, they want you to think it's because your credit is so bad, but maybe their website is not so good. Well, I have the shortcut. It's called AutoCreditExpress.com. Tell them L.A. Williams sent you and get approved today.
From nothing to everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with our main man, Caesar Augustus, man. And it was so crazy because over the break, you know, Sean's talking about, you know, talk about the people you work with, talked about, and, you know, we're like, I mean,
yo, Caesar. Wait a minute, LA, first of all, I didn't sound that thirsty, first of all, okay?
And
don't get it twisted, homie. Like, I'm all around A-list people. What I'm trying to do is, he is a Hollywood producer that's done some big stuff.
Right.
I want to make this interesting for our audience.
I get it.
Disclaimer. Now,
listen,
go back in LA.
No, listen,
because
here's the deal. You actually put us in front of, see, we be in front of the quote unquote A-list celebrities, but you be in front of the owners. You know what I'm saying? It's like Shaq is, they say Shaq is wealthy, but the person who signs Shaq's checks, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's who you put us in front of, the Bradleys, the Grant Cardones. I mean, the serious big wigs. You know what I'm saying? So
money.
But
I'm
man,
the money guy.
That's what I love about, I mean, freaking everybody that we've so far, you know, interviewed on this radio show has been, you know, contacts from Sean. We would interview.
Oh yeah, let me just tell you right now, America, right now, the radio stations are not putting these people in front of me. These are all people in my personal life,
this
in my
Rolodex.
This is my network. So
crazy.
Let me go into. So Caesar, what we're saying is this: is that I want to hear some stories. You work with Mike Tyson, and Mike just had, you know, the comeback of the century. I mean,
Roy
like
Jones.
What he just did is amazing. So what was it like working with Mike Tyson? You said he lives close to you.
Yeah. I mean, El Segundo, his office where he does his podcasts and his streams and his cannabis company, he's right down the road. And the reason how I met them is because our partners for the kickboxer movies is they're same partners that do the cannabis space and the podcast with them. So
I get free samples.
I have, and I get to, and I have a meeting with them here shortly. It's awesome that we get to just go in and meet these people and be around it. You know, but I would say like the most interesting story is the time that I met P. Diddy.
Yeah, talk about P. Diddy for a second here, because this is funny. All
right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think one Memorial Day, like 2009 Memorial Day, I was in Florida, Miami, Florida, filming Barrington Levy, and my boy Asher Roth was he's a hip hop artist at the time that he was just about ready to release an album with Scooter Braun. And, I was down there with him and just meeting up, and he's like, yo, I just got a phone call and Diddy wants me to come over to his house and just kick it. And he says to bring everyone. So here we are, we pull up to his house and it's this beautiful mansion on the water. And it's just him and Cassie. I think he was dating Cassie at the time. We're hanging out with Cassie. Mm-hmm. And it was just a spectacular, like, catered just for us, though. Just a group of our friends just hanging out with Diddy by the pool.
That's crazy.
And then a few hours later, Busta Rhymes shows up and we're just like kind of hanging and smoking and just like, you know, being, you know, this was 10 years ago. It's right. just like an experience that, no, not a lot of people get to have, which is cool. So, you know, it's funny the type of experiences you get into, like hanging out. And that's right. what I was talking to you earlier. Like, imagine if I would have said no to Asher, like meeting Diddy or traveling. Like, I've traveled the country with Asher because of that, you know?
So that's crazy. It's
tight.
You know, and then there was another time where, like, I was at this M. Night Shyamalan party in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and they invited us to a party, a private party with the cast and crew and everything. And here I was, like, it was a big dance party. G Love was playing. It was an exclusive, like, yeah. G Love was playing. It was just like only like 100 of us. And here I was, like, in the front, like, dancing, and I turn around, and here I was dancing with Sigourney Weaver, and we're just, like, kicking in, and M. Night pulls up, and then I couldn't believe it. It was, like, I was a kid. I was, right. like, early, like, 24, 25.
You're fangirling there. Right there with M. Night?
Oh, yeah.
Yo, but I heard that you stepped to him, and you told him, you know, you projected and manifested to, you know, tell the story. That's crazy.
I did. I kind of had a little bit too much wine, but this is how confident I was. I pretty much told him that, like, you know what, if we're not going to be working together, we're going to be competing and doing some, I don't know. I was just really cocky at the time, but I was drinking. So I was out of my mind. But what I wanted to say was that, like, yo, we're going to be doing some big stuff too. I admire your work. And yeah, so it was an experience, but I had the balls to pretty much tell him that. And I was just like, oh God, but yeah.
Hey, radio police, can you say balls on radio?
Yeah, you can say that. That's cool.
All right, cool. Just say cojones. There you go.
That works.
So now let's transition, because this is so entertaining, and it's just amazing having you in the studio with us here on the show, Caesar. But you're working on some big things right now. Can you talk to us about what you're doing with Will Smith? And, just I'll let you share it with us, because this is pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for over the past 5 to 8 years, we've been working with the Cab Calloway Foundation, and you know, one of my best friends is Cab Calloway's grandson. So we've been, again, packaging and putting together a whole series of intellectual properties for like, you know, feature films to a series to revamping the music catalog with Diddy and a few other key artists as well. Before all this started, we approached Will Smith and his camp. Actually, we approached his dad. I knew growing up in Philly, I knew Will Smith Sr. and we pitched this project a long time ago, unfortunately, before he passed away like 3 years ago. And he took it to his son, Will Smith Jr., which is the Will Smith that the world knows. And brought it to his attention, brought it in front of him, and gained interest. But unfortunately, we didn't have all the music rights in place yet. Fast forward 5 years in the present day, we're talking we have everything in place, and we're talking to his production company Overbrook, and it seemed that there is some interest in developing the entire property and working with the entire camp on revamping. And we're doing some cool hologram effects with it as well, like kind of like what they did with Benjamin Button's.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're working with Digital Domain, who created Benjamin Button's, like the 3D and visual effects for that movie. Nice. And they're working with us exclusively on this project as well, developing the holograms.
What's that like, Caesar? Like this is like legendary stuff. I mean, like Cab. I mean,
Cab's like, one of one.
Yes, exactly. So what's that like as a, because you're an artist, as a director, as a producer, as a cinematographer, what is that like having that responsibility of creating or recreating someone's legacy? Like that's special, man. That's pretty yeah. powerful stuff. How does somebody go about and tackle something like that? Do you have any fear about not getting the story right, not getting the essence? Like, how do you mentally prepare for something like that?
I just know that, you know, that when you're persistent about something and you have enough faith in the right team and the right moves, like everything gets done properly. You know, it's all those things in place, and it's taken, we thought about it over and over for 10 years, and now it's the right time. It was about timing with the whole, you know, Black Lives Matter movement. We feel like there's a story to tell related and how Cab used music and art and his passion to do what he did to like reinfuse this culture of of oneness. Like there, like he created, like he was one of the first to black entertainers to go out there and sell a million records and to like mm-hmm. really be out there and really pave the way for everyone else who came after him. So I really feel like, you know, with this story, we can kind of remind people that it's not about the color. It's about what you love doing, the culture, the music, like Amen. Who you are in the world, you know, and like it's showcasing more of that work of, you know, and doing it in a tasteful way. So we're trying to do like a Boardwalk Empire meets The Great Gatsby type of film and kind of nice. Just up it up and make sure that this is like really developed well. And I've always had a vision, and for me, I'm going to be a producer, not a writer on it, just putting the right team together, like bringing Will Smith in, Digital Domain, and just bringing the right people in, you know, and overseeing it. And just it takes a lot of eyes for all this stuff.
Man, you know what I'm thinking about right here? Synergy is defined as two or more agents that come together are greater than the individual effect. Like I'm talking to two people I personally like have love for and admire. I mean, LA is one of the best producers I ever come across in music. Mm-hmm. You are mastering your craft with video and movies and production and music videos and that stuff. And what I say is that the elite people, the A-list celebrities in movies and in music, there's so much beauty that comes from synergy by featuring and collaboration and things like that. I mean, look at the Avengers. So Caesar, in entertainment or in movies or music videos, how important is it to collaborate with other artists, other producers, other engineers, other DPs and things like that? How important it is to diversify and push yourself creativity-wise?
I mean, you know, it's super important. It's everything, actually. You know, like have you ever seen a movie with just one credit?
Exactly.
There's a few. But that's those, like, but one. The big boy A-list movies, like it takes.
That was powerful, LA.
That
right?
Was. That was.
Violent. It takes a world to like, you know, and every, you know, and I'm diving more, like the more I work on this Cab project and these intellectual properties, I realize that it takes a team of like visionaries to come together, and everyone has their craft, everyone, and allowing people to have their craft, because I'm used to doing everything on my own a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. And so breaking out of that and learning how to work with teams, and I've taken development, development programs for team building and stuff, and it allowed me to really kind of focus on putting the best people in place that do what they know how to do best. So that's everything.
Yeah, that quote is stolen, George. Just so you know, that quote is stolen.
From where?
From him. He told us something. You ever seen a movie with one credit? That is,
yeah. Yo, yeah, that was dope. Yeah.
That's true, though. That just came. Yeah, that's true, though.
Caesar, for me, there, and I learned this from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People from Dr. Covey, yeah, from the Maturity Continuum. Most people, unfortunately, are not successful. They're not rich. They're not famous. And part of it is I got to just be the reality check here and say it's their fault, because their maturity continuum is that they're codependent or dependent, meaning they blame the world. It's their fault. It's this person's fault, that person. It's never themselves. The next level, which I think America is misunderstanding, they think that independence, you know, is the key. Like, I'm going to take care of myself. There's a song, LA, who sang I'm an Independent Woman and stuff like that?
Well, there was Destiny's Child version. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
I'm
there you go.
Independent.
Yeah, see, but what Covey says is that the most powerful way is interdependence. It's us and we. And I think that, you know, collaboration synergy is really powerful. And Caesar, if that's what I'm understanding from you, it's when you're able to put a team together that has specialty, you can create masterpieces. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I don't see any way around it. I mean, it does take a starting point, but then it needs to branch out like that. That life of tree that you said, the tree of life analogy that you said earlier, LA. So it needs to branch out. It always needs to grow and it needs to expand, and you need to expand. Your team needs to expand. The concept needs to expand. It needs to continuously grow. You know, I think that's the secret to any, to anything. It's just like never stop.
Absolutely never stop. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to keep going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny. This is
Against All Odds.
And we will be right back after these messages.
Hey world, this is Sean V. Bradley. And if you need to buy a new or pre-owned car and want to have the best, most convenient experience ever, get full transparency, the absolute lowest price, no stress, best customer service, well, I highly recommend Car.com.
Need a new car now, but not so perfect credit holding you back? Here at AutoCreditExpress.com, we get it. That's why millions of Americans trust us as the shortcut to getting approved for a new car. No matter what your credit situation, and even if you've been denied in the past, AutoCreditExpress.com gets you approved by working with the best lenders and the best dealers. The ones that understand that not everyone has perfect credit, especially in times like these. AutoCreditExpress.com. We're with you.
Did you know that Car.com is a website to connect consumers like you, me, our parents, basically everybody, to local car dealers? Car.com helps us find that perfect vehicle. From new vehicles to certified pre-owned, Car.com will help you find the best vehicle match. Car.com practically started the online car shopping experience. Peace of mind and finding your perfect vehicle, it's what they do. Car.com, we do the research, you do the driving. Get started getting that peace of mind today at Car.com.
You're listening to WORK Radio. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary.
Yo, LA, I want to talk to the world. Listen to me, world. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart to these airways, because for the last 2 months, I've been able to show you a piece of my soul. Each one of these guests are from my personal network. These are my friends. These are my partners. These are people from my life. And I'm able to share that with you because, against all odds, I came from nothing. I came from the absolute bottom. 6 years of my life between gangs, prison, to becoming a multimillionaire. I've been able to partner up with my co-defendant, my partner in crime, my partner in the show, Mr. L.A. Williams. So, L.A., can you believe it's been 2 months that we've been rocking, fam?
It's so hard to believe that it's been 2 months, but I mean, goodness gracious, that's what can happen. And again, we're going to keep them coming, right? We're going to keep the good shows coming. All of your feedback, we appreciate it at the Against All Odds Radio Show Facebook group for listeners and guests. So make sure you keep hanging out with us. Keep sending us the feedback on Clubhouse and every other social media platform. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
The Against All Odds Radio Show comes to you every week from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. If you have a question about the show or would like the chance to become a guest and share your success story, we would love to talk to you. You can reach us directly at 856-546-2440 or email us at againstallodsradioshow@gmail.com. This program is a presentation of Synergy Records, streaming live coast to coast and downloadable everywhere podcasts are found. The Against All Odds Radio Show is produced by Sean V. Bradley, CSP. Production and engineering by L.A. Williams. The Against All Odds radio show is hosted every week by L.A. Williams and the millionaire car salesman himself, Mr. Sean V. Bradley, CSP. Plus, don't forget, Sean's best-selling book, Win the Game of Googleopoly, is available right now on Amazon. Thanks for listening to the Against All Odds radio show, and remember, where I come from, money provides options. The Against All Odds radio show is sponsored in part by Scarfood, Car.com, Internet Brands, and Dealer Synergy.